This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
It's my first time here on Office Hours. After 560 some episodes, I think I'll unmute myself before I start the show. But more importantly, in honor of the holidays, I have a damn good man, Adam Jablin, and of course, Craig Goldberg, my two beautiful co-hosts, the Hero Project, super behind him. I'm his Batman, he's my Robin. And before we bring on Craig Goldberg, in honor of the holiday, DM, he's in the wings, in the shadows, 6'9", maybe 6'10" now. I think he reached when he hit his 40s. David, no, he's not 40 yet. Welcome, you guys. My two brothers, the OGs. How are you?
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, DMs. How are you, boys?
We are good. We are bringing on Adam Jablin and Dave Marino as my co-host here for the Office Hours edition of Breakfast of Champions. I figured if I'm going OG originals, I'm bringing my two best buddies back. And it's always great to see you guys. The backgrounds say it all. We have Superman and the Dark Shadow himself from the lurks of being the, and he's going to help us all, David Marino. You know, we just got finished filming, and both of you have been on the TV show on app as well. And it's an amazing experience. Both of you have shared with me. What's your biggest takeaway after five seasons? Curious. We've done David Marino, done 569 episodes of Office Hours. I'm curious what your biggest takeaway from Office Hours.
Overall takeaway from Office Hours is a really, really good question. And it's so much like just going through my brain, because I remember us being online during COVID, and then, you know, starting the show and filming the show in Orange County and moving to Vegas. But if I can think of one overarching theme, over 500 something episodes, is with a lot of our guests, a lot of them have stories of loss and how those stories of loss help them learn lessons which they apply to now win and thrive. And I think another consistent narrative is that it's never easy. Like, there's no person that's ever come on our show that said, I was born with a silver spoon, I still have the silver spoon, life has been roses and butterflies all the way through, and now I'm successful. And I think just for everybody watching, it makes it a lot more relatable, because social media can sometimes have you feeling like everybody's life is perfect. And I think if anything we learn from the show is that folks' lives are not perfect their entire time. You know, they've got to persevere through some of the dark times to get to the light.
And Adam, one quick takeaway from you.
You know, I don't want to just piggyback on David, but I really think Office Hours illustrates embracing that emotional journey in entrepreneurship. You know, we're using this different language to say the same thing. You know, every guest really pours out their heart that this is not a cakewalk. You know, and what you're seeing in my branding and marketing is not who I actually am, that this is a dance with fear. This is an absolute dance with fear. And a lot of the questions, David, that you ask brings that out in the guests. You know what I mean? So some of the biggest names out there, from Super Bowls to just people crushing it in business, they've all admitted the emotional challenges. And that's what I connect with the most. It's not what's in the bank. It's the emotions.
Yeah, that energy, emotion. And I think it helps people identify the disease to actually reaffirm the ease, the omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, as I said, the infinite unified system that has so much for us of more than enough. And speaking of more than enough, speaking of dis-ease, our first friend that I'm bringing up, Nick, is Craig Goldberg. I use this mechanism every day. It's IAmInHarmony.com. Harmony itself is something that I have now utilized to describe my love language, which is time, and how to balance the values of my day. Not a weight balance, like I used to say, you know, every day, weight your balance. And in the end of the lifetime, you don't have to spend 25% of your day on personal experiential giving and receiving. But It's really how harmonious is your day and how are we identifying the interference, vibration, the dis-ease that people create for themselves via the natural bioanatomical, biochemical dis-ease that occurs, and also bioemotional, as my friend Adam Adam Jablin has brought up, the damn good man. Craig Bulberg, president, co-founder, he is a certified, and this is awesome, vibroacoustic therapy practitioner at InHarmony. Craig Goldberg, welcome to Office Hours and the Breakfast of Champions.
Good morning. Good morning. Grateful to be here. Thanks for having me, Dave.
Oh, my gosh. It's grateful is not even the word. So, first of all, explain to people what the F I do every morning when I lie down. When I lie down on the InHarmony, open my app. I do this every day, minimum. You know, I'm a minimum time guy, time I love language, 5 minutes a day. Explain to everybody what the hell I'm doing, because it has changed. People complain about how much energy I have, especially 6 a.m. in the morning in my own house. Tell me, what am I doing in the morning when I lie down on the InHarmony lounge, a chair, lounge bed?
Lounge, you got a lounge, you got a cushion. I've gotten texts from your team, so I know you've got more energy, which I'm grateful for, and I'm grateful to be here. Adam and David, it's great to see you here as well. Vibroacoustic therapy, vibration therapy. Morning voice. I finished an event last night at like 12:30 in the morning, so here we go.
Yeah, he's been in a trade show for the last 20 hours, so we'll give you a pass. Go ahead. Not everybody can have the voice of a champion.
So vibration therapy just helps to calm and relax the nervous system from the outside in. It's really the easiest way for me to explain it. We can get into the science and the technical of what's happening, but the reality is, Adam, what you talked about, the struggle and the strife, and you mentioned in the trauma that we've had in this world, we all have it. Entrepreneurs, people in the corporate world, you name it. People call these meat suits. I call these suffer suits. We are here to feel and interpret suffering and then translate that into love. That's my perspective on this whole life's journey, summed up into a quick sentence. And we all have that trauma. We need to deal with it. We need to handle it. I met a gentleman yesterday who was a world champion arm wrestler. And he had just lost his mom 8 weeks ago, was completely broken up, could hardly live life. And I can't even sympathize with what that looks like. My mom is still with me. But to anybody that has lost somebody close, the grieving process is one that we have to go through. And whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're in business, we need to be able to handle all that, compartmentalize it, and then press forward. But we still have to deal with it at some point. And that's what helps us to push forward and to strive forward, that grit, that grind, that hustle. I think that's something that is really near and dear to anybody in office hours, because it's a running theme that we all have. And our technology, while it helps to energize and harmonize and do all of these amazing things, it also helps you to tend to your own garden, your internal garden. It helps you to clean your desk, the desk in your mind, in your head, so that you can charge forward, be more powerful, be more present, and really rock and roll. So it does an awful lot without diving into the specific science of it, but we typically say that we harmonize the mind, body, and spirit, so that you can charge forward by giving you rest and relaxation and allowing you to feel amazing at the same time.
Yeah. And the way you do it, just so you know, because I do it every day, is you lie down or you sit on the cushion. I love lying down on the lounge, and lie down, and you have an app, and you pick what frequency you want, or you pick inspiration, or you pick how you want to feel. You pick your emotion basically, or your frequency, depending on where you're at. And then you just have an eye cover, and the lounge vibrates to the acoustic, the music, and it's in harmony together. And then your body becomes synchronistic to the sound, the vibration of the sound, and the vibration of the lounge. Mm-hmm. And that's what's called in harmony. And it doesn't take long. I do it before my shows. People are like, dude, yes, I am in sync. If I had a band, I would be in sync. I would be in harmony. But it has changed. It allows me to identify disease and spend less time, minutes, and moments in disease. spending minutes and moments in disease. My 6'11" friend, he's growing while the show is growing. He's amazing. If you haven't followed Dave Marino, please do. He's an OG. He's been on the first Office Hours with me pre-COVID, by the way, over 500 episodes. He is the man. Dave Marino, what do you got for our friend Craig Bowler from In Harmony?
Well, first off, apologies for misspeaking. You are 100% right. It's been so long, and can't remember when we started. But Craig, this, anything that gives Dave more energy, I'm like maybe mildly afraid of, just because always has so much energy to begin with. But I'd love to learn a little bit more about how the vibration mixed with sound helps to reach a better meditative state. And then sort of a two-pronged question, obviously the In Harmony product sounds amazing. I'd love to try it. Is there a way to replicate, obviously I'm not going to put you out of business, but are there ways where if you're on the road or you're moving around, you want to replicate that, some of that feeling that you can do without it?
Absolutely. I love both of those questions, and I will dive into a little bit of how it works. I'm on a mission to help humanity, and I want every single person that's watching right now to have access to the tools that they need so that they can feel their best, so that they can go touch the world, so that they can impact the world. And the ripple effect is something David talks about and something that's really important to me. So yeah, I want to provide that value for sure. Vibroacoustic therapy, as David started to share, is the confluence of hearing the same thing that you're feeling. And what happens in the brain is that relaxes the nervous system. We have a bunch of mechanoreceptors in our skin that send signals of changing in pressure. It's how we feel the environment that we're in. When you're laying on the sound lounge or sitting on a meditation cushion, your brain is feeling the same frequencies that it's hearing. The equivalent of going to a stack of standing in front of a stack of speakers at a nightclub or a concert, you feel that vibration in your chest. That is a bass frequency, which is really a pulse, a change in air pressure that is coming from that speaker to your body. This is now, we're harmonizing it. And of course, we're doing it on a much more concentrated level. This is when you're playing the specific frequencies that we play, this is what is actually calming and relaxing your nervous system, increasing circulation, helping with digestion, helping with detox pathways by opening up lymphatic drainage. We are basically assaulting your body in a very positive way. And that is what is allowing you to feel your best. It's allowing you to feel energized. It's allowing you to, your body is doing it from, we're triggering it from the outside in using sound and vibration, which feels amazing. And the body is reacting to that by creating these chemical cascades and opening up these different pathways, including general circulation, oxygen and nutrients going to every cell in the body. And that's what gives you that invigorating rush of energy. Okay. So how can you do this on your own? You can do this on your own actually quite easily by getting up and going outside, connecting your feet to the earth. Listening to, if you feel the need, I have an app. That's the music that drives everything that we do. Get a Bluetooth speaker that you have in the house. Play my app through the Bluetooth speaker and give yourself an opportunity to listen to what we call a music meditation, which is a track in our app. There's 120 plus. We add a new one every single week. And scroll through. There's a free 14-day trial. So you can do this for the next 14 days. It won't cost you a penny. And lay down or put on headphones, listen to a music meditation, give yourself that space, and then go for a walk outside while you're taking a phone call, while you're doing what you're doing as part of your normal day. Those two things together will help to simulate what we're doing. Obviously, you're going to get the benefit of the music meditation with the Bluetooth speaker or your headphones, and then you're going to ground and go outside and get, you don't even need sunshine. Really, just getting your feet connected to the earth will help to dissipate that excess energy and will help you to feel a lot of what David's feeling. Of course, there's really no second to the sound lounge experience, but that's very close to getting that done.
And the name of the app is In Harmony, correct?
It is. Yeah. In Harmony. If you search... Looks like that. Right. Looks like my logo, which is right behind me, but yeah, In Harmony.
Right. In Harmony. Speaking of In Harmony, I know Dave and I are in Harmony, not just because we have the same initials, DM, but obviously being the exact same person, twins, as people call us when we walk around. Other emotional twin is Adam Jablin. And Adam, he's in harmony with me. And the synchronicity of human beings also works within the vibrational frequency as well. Adam, I know you're dying to figure this out and get one for you and your clients as well. I'm curious what really resonates with you within Harmony.
I love everything that I'm hearing. And Craig, the one thing I keep wanting to dive into just a little bit more is the origin story of it. I got to get a little reading of it between, you know, your wife's ailments and some of the pain that she went through. But what's the origin story that caused you to create in Harmony?
I appreciate that. I selfishly create this company so that I have access to the products that I use every single day. I wish there was a bigger answer to that. I have stress. I have anxiety. I was just sitting at a mastermind kind of round table, and a good friend of mine, kind of who's known me for about a year and a half. We've been in this business mastermind together. He looks at me and he goes, "But Craig, you don't have stress. You don't have anxiety. You're always so chill." And I kind of look back at him and I was like, I have a 3.5-year-old. I'm with my wife 15 years. I have a business that is now ramping up to getting ready to explode in hockey stick. I got a couple things going on that are taking my attention in lots of different ways. I selfishly use my technology every single day. I'm saddened actually that I had to get up this morning. All of my technology is at A4M, 16 units or 12 units rather, between two booths and an event that I did last night. So nothing is set up in my house. I'm actually going to the show early today so that I can land Sound Lounge for 45 minutes before the show starts. So everybody has stress and anxiety. Everybody has trauma. And I had a great childhood. If we were to sit and talk about trauma and what that looks like, but it doesn't matter. We all have trauma. I have a 3.5-year-old that probably doesn't have a thing in the world to worry about. And she has trauma. Just because she wants to do one thing and I tell her she can't do it, it creates a traumatic response. The nervous system only knows how to do one thing, and that is to keep you safe and to evaluate threats through the five senses. We are constantly getting triggered all day long. What our technology does, whether you're listening to music meditation or you're laying on a piece of our relaxation furniture, we are conditioning your nervous system. Very much like an athlete conditions their body, we are conditioning your nervous system to stay calm and relaxed more often so that you can show up cool, calm, and collected in the face of a threat. Not very different from military or a first responder. Military or first responder walks into a chaotic environment, cool, calm, and collected, ready to operate. Whereas a civilian or somebody that's not trained for that is like, what's going on? What's happening? I'm in shock. I'm shaking. That trauma or that traumatic effect. It's two human beings. They're the same exact, for the most part, the same exact chemical makeup. And yet one is cool, calm, and collected. And the other is, you know, obviously having a traumatic experience or in the middle of fight or flight. What's the difference? The difference is conditioning. So our technology helps you to condition for that environment. And I'm no different. I wish I could tell you I was this superhero as I'm looking at your backdrop. The reality is I'm a human being. I have emotions. I am walking around in the same earth plane as each and every one of you are. I got to go out and I got to drive on the same streets you do. I have to deal with the same construction routines. I have to deal with the same public that everybody has to deal with for the most part. And that comes with stress and anxiety. Again, our nervous systems have not caught up with our current times. Long are the days where a saber-toothed tiger is chasing us down the street. I get that. But the reality is there are still threats in this environment, accurate or inaccurately identified by your nervous system. Our nervous system is still in need of that training and that education, that conditioning. And that's really where we thrive and shine.
And Craig, there's two things from someone that utilizes it and recommends it. It's a baseline. And so, you know, as you learn, Harmony is my baseline, not stress and disease. As you look at even Inner Talk, where, you know, 80% of your baseline is this Inner Talk. 80% of your baseline is what you're saying to yourself. 80% of what you say to yourself is negative. 9% of the 80% is repetitive. So you're consistently baselining against yourself. Be able to shift your baseline to a harmonious baseline. Now, I will tell you, I think after having three daughters and a son, I think I would rather be chased by a saber-toothed tiger than if have a 3.5-year-old, but I see Marino smiling on that one. And Adam has a little bit of reflection and remembrance of it. Marino's in it and Goldberg's in it. So we'd rather be chased by the saber-toothed tiger. Even worse, just to, so you know, just wait till your kids start dating. So I'd rather be chased by a saber-toothed tiger than meet another boyfriend that I want to kill. But I use my In Harmony bass line to keep myself out of, very difficult dis-ease of boyfriends as well. But the incredible Craig Goldberg, if you haven't checked out In Harmony, if you want a bass line of harmony, if you want to live in harmony, it's easy. Download the app and try it out. Use a Bluetooth speaker and then upgrade into a cushion and upgrade into the Sound Lounge, the full immersive experience of harmony, which I get to enjoy every single day. I'm giving secret sauce to energy, the baseline of In Harmony. I am inharmony.com. If you don't believe me, then go back and listen to the vibro acoustic version of Office Hours and Breakfast of Champions. Craig, come back and join us. Good luck today. Go sit on the lounge. Go lay on the lounge. You'll be fine for the next 20 hours of trade show.
Thank you so much, David, for having me. Adam, David, it's great to be here. By the way, if anybody is interested and you do want to make a purchase, put the code in Office Hours at checkout and see what kind of gifts we have in store for you. I hope you have a spectacular day, David. Honored to be here. Grateful to see you. And thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Rock.
Happy holidays, Craig.
Love it. I love it. What an awesome dude. He's part of the Mishpoka, the man, the legend himself has changed my life, as you two both have as well. The incredible Adam Jablin and Dave Marino here with me. But give us a moment, gentlemen, to bring up the Nick of Time one more time. He's going to go ahead and reset the room. If anybody wants information on In Harmony, just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Happy to help. As well as I will send a book, sign it, pay for the book, pay for shipping. I'll send it out to you to learn about how to identify fear, what the reaction to fear is, and then how to roll in the right direction in harmony with a unified, abundant, infinite system of thought. Nick of Time, reset the room.
We're almost at halftime of David Meltzer's Power Hour in the Room and Clubhouse, of course, the Breakfast with Champions. And as we continue with this incredible Office Hours and these incredible conversations with guests, of course, if you have follow-up or would like to be introduced to Craig in Harmony or have some additional questions that David can help give service towards, what you do is email him directly, david@dmeltzer.com, and of course his email can be found in the chat as well. Now, David, do we have time for a quick question here live on Clubhouse, or we want to keep the rocket and rolling with the next guest?
Yeah, let's bring the next guest up and then we'll take a question, because in the green room is a man that understands anxiety and depression, a man who is bringing harmony especially to men's. Bob Gardner is here. He's the founder of Freedom Specialists and an author, of course. And we want to talk about what he's doing in late January and February in order to facilitate raising the awareness to identifying dis-ease. And Bob, welcome to Office Hours and the Breakfast of Champions, a simulcast created by a Sanford and Son setup. But welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was excited to be here, guys.
Awesome to have you. Let's talk about retreats. There's so many different masterminds, retreats, getaways, and you have a Built for Freedom, which I find interesting, men's retreat, January 30th to February 3rd. Why'd you choose freedom to describe the retreat? When we're looking at this dis-ease, a lot of people talk about, mental health and wellness. And I love the fact that you stayed away from the more mass branding of a retreat that is teaching and empowering people with these tools to utilize the word freedom. Why do you use freedom in the description of the men's retreat?
So that was a deliberate choice about the name of my company, about the name of the things that I wanted to do. I could have called myself an addiction specialist. I could have called myself a bipolar specialist. I could have called myself a depression specialist. That was my life. I had blown everything up. I was about to lose my wife and kids. I had been lost in a lot of different roads. trying to battle what people would call mental health stuff on the inside while I was trying to make money and put food on the table and everything else. And so then as I figured that out and was trying to share this with other people, I wanted my mind on the goal. I didn't want my mind on something else. So I would rather specialize in freedom than specialize in every addict is an addiction specialist. Every person who's depressed specializes in depression. They do it automatically. It's like a habit. And so I was like, what if freedom were an automatic habit? And so then as I started to build these retreats, the whole aim of them is to help people bypass their mental faculties and get straight into the body and retrain the nervous system itself, retrain the body's instincts so that it starts to choose freedom on autopilot. We're taking them through physical, very intense sometimes and very gentle other times, physical experiences to get their body to start to have a different reaction than the way that they have been operating up until now.
Well, that's tremendous. I guess a little bit of morning voice for me here too, Adam. You're the only one. That's tremendous. You know, obviously with men, it's always difficult to talk about feelings and emotions. And, you know, you're convening a group of men, you know, at your retreat. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how you've helped to break some of those stigmas to get folks to come? And, you know, are there challenges in the retreat to get folks to open up? And if so, you know, what sort of strategies do you guys deploy to make it the most productive?
So that's a great question. The way I designed these, and it's been something that I've come at over the course of time, was I had to figure out how to be able to get everybody there and hit the ground running without having to spend so much time trying to get to know each other, get everybody comfortable with it. A lot of the people that come to me have already tried years of counseling. They've tried all the kinds of different therapies and apps and books and, you know, programs that are out there. And they've learned some great things. They've had some wonderful stuff occur in their life, but they still find themselves stuck. And so they're already coming ready to change. And they've heard my story. They recognize in me somebody who is like, my stuff's online. It's so like straight in your face. This is what I dealt with. This is the problem I had. This is what the thing that I said. And so they already have somebody who's willing to be honest. And so when they come to the retreat, I have them take some time beforehand to write themselves a goodbye letter. And to be very specific about what it is. So they're doing this with themselves, trying to be honest with themselves first. And then the first thing we do is they get on the bus. And before they ever get to the venue, they read that letter. And they read that to one other person. And that other person reads their letter. And they suddenly discover, oh, wow, I'm not alone in this. And then they go read it to another person. So by the time they get to where we're at, they've already connected with 4, 5, 6 other people. And they're recognizing that there's common patterns. They're recognizing that they're not alone in their struggle. And though there may be some unique differences, like the main thing that they're struggling with is really the same. They don't know how to be happy in their circumstances. They're stressed out. Their body has developed a habit that has helped them survive. They have 100% success rate at surviving everything in their life. It just is, they're surviving in misery, and we'd like them to get them to survive in happiness is all. So that type of bonding experience, by the time they get off the bus, they're ready to go.
Well, I'm about to make an incredible introduction. If you haven't already met, talk about synergy. And Dave, thanks for giving me your morning voice. It seems to be passing along virtually. You believe in quantum physics, you'll understand how that happens from point A to point B. But more importantly, Adam Jablin, Hero Project, and someone who focuses on as well. But, you know, 3 of the 4 of us here have suffered from that addiction and the disease that's created and have freed ourselves. This man has freed many as well. Adam Jablin, I know I want to introduce you to Bob Gardner.
Bob, it's a pleasure to meet you. I love listening to you. I'm coming up on 18 years clean and sober, and where you focus on freedom, I focus on the hero within. It's very aligned. So my question to you would be this, so you could elaborate on what you've discovered.
Yeah.
What made you focus on the body when there's, you know, as we would say, there's the body, the mind, the spirit? What was the inspiration for you when you were the founder of the Freedom Specialist that I'm going to go through the body's pathways rather than the mindset or the spirituality?
Yeah. I had been in spiritual programs like 12-step programs and some of the other ones. And while I had a lot of benefits from them from time to time, like they weren't helping. And I also like I didn't know what to believe. Like, I had a lot of questions in there, and there were a lot of people had different opinions, and I just felt like I was just in this maelstrom of voices. When it came to the mental stuff, I had read all of these other different types of things, and I was trying like affirmations and whatnot, and it just wasn't helping me. And so one day I was sitting there, and I asked myself a basic question, like, how do I know that I'm anxious? How do I know that I'm depressed? How do I know that I'm addicted? Like, what is it that's telling me this? And the answers always came back down to, there's some part of my body that is suffering. It's constricted. It's in pain. It's chemically off. There's something going on in my body. And I just started toggling those because I wasn't getting help somewhere else. I remember my wife leaving home one day, and I had a few minutes, and that entire drive to go use showed up. And I felt myself standing rooted to the carpet, hand shaking, you know, heart thumping, like, oh man, I just can't do this. And I had this strange vision of me at 90 years old in the same spot on the carpet, still in the same struggle. And I was like, there's no way. I have to find a different way out, because if that's all I have to say for myself at 60 years later, it's not worth it. And so that's when I started testing things. I started changing my breathing, or working with that, or I started changing my tension patterns or my posture. I started training the way I moved. And what I noticed was, as I did that in this sort of playful way, it was a game to me, that all the other problems started to go away on their own. And I would just have a moment somewhere down the line where I'd be like, wow, I used to respond to that differently. And it wasn't because I had like dealt with the hard stuff and done some shadow work. I had just decided to go fill my life with joy in a really deliberate way, and train my nervous system. And then all of a sudden the other stuff started to go away. So I thought, man, maybe the body is the interface between mind and spirit and all these other stuff. And if I can just handle the interface, then all the rest of it gets better. It's like driving down the road. And like, your brain's not in touch with the outside world at all. Like, it's in this little black box, and all of the data that's coming in is coming through my body. So if I were driving down the road and I had bugs smeared over the windshield and mud smeared over the windshield, it's not that I can't see. I can see just fine, but it's a harder drive and it's a lot more stressful. If I clean the windshield, all of a sudden everything's beautiful, I'm fine. And that's what I was trying to do. Like, if my body's the windshield, what if I just clean it out? Then suddenly the beauty of the world can find its way in.
What a great answer. Yeah.
For someone in your position, that means a lot, Adam, as well. And as he was illustrating what it feels like to be built for freedom and to unshackle ourselves or clean our windshields, whatever analogy you want to use, I think the paradigm shift is that, you know, we are already built for freedom. We just have to unshackle ourselves. And it is physically, mentally, and spiritually. And that future projection of seeing yourself at 90 lying on the floor 60 years later, the only thing that doesn't hold true to that is if you're suffering from dis-ease and addiction, dis-ease, you're probably not making it to 90. So you'll probably be 6 feet under the floor. you won't make it to 90. From someone that knows about the dog years of addiction in 7 years is equal to one, as Adam, I know, will share. And Marino, who's a practicing leading corporate lawyer, he's living double dog years without addiction, just being a practicing lawyer. You know, that's why they charge so much per hour, because it's really 14 hours of dis-ease that they're giving you for 1 hour of billables. But he's really good at it. And as a recovering lawyer, I definitely sympathize with my man DM. He should go to the Built for Freedom men's retreat, and he'll get his windshield clean for sure. Everybody, come and join our friend Bob. He's doing it a unique way of unshackling you, liberating you to shine your light. More freedom for all. Built for Freedom's men's retreat, January 30th to February 3rd. In Salt Lake, I believe, if that's correct, Bob, it's in Utah, right? Yep. And the website, if you want to join, is thefreedomspecialist.com/unshackled. Bob Gardner promised us you'll come back before the event. We will keep on driving traffic to those people that want to liberate their life and lights to liberate other people's lives. Like, it's always a pleasure to have you join us. Come back. Thanks for joining us.
Will do. Thank you guys so much.
Great job, Bob.
Awesome. Yeah, really. It's hard to surprise Adam Javelin when it comes to addiction. And I thought I'd go more with the gardener side of planting seeds under trees that we never sit under. But instead, he went the freedom route as his freedom special. My name is Gardner. I'm thinking maybe I'm more on the horticultural side of things and figuring out how to brand myself as a gardener of freedom. Who knows? The old marketing expertise just is zooming itself here early in the morning on the West Coast with the three morning voices of David Meltzer, David Marino, and Adam Javelin. Thank God we got rid of Goldberg because the quantum transference of morning voice was there. We got a few moments before we bring on our next guest. He's being in the wings. We have the amazing brain surgeon, Dr. Lee Warren, coming up. But before we bring him up, I want to quickly have Nick reset the room quickly. Nick of time. They don't call you the Nick of time for nothing. But also, let's bring one question up on wherever you want to bring hundreds of questions here. So, Nick, go ahead, reset the room quickly, Nick of time. And then let's take a quick question before we bring on Dr. Lee Warren.
Absolutely. We are knocking on the door of what is going to be the fourth quarter of David Meltzer's Power Hour here in the Breakfast with Champions, of course, the best community and room and clubhouse. And doing a quick reset, this is office hours as today's topic. Obviously, we've had some incredible conversations with guests as David is joined by his phenomenal co-hosts, Adam Javelin and David Moreno. And as we keep things rocking and rolling, we will have one more guest, but we have time for a quick question in the meantime, and I'd like to pass the mic over to Petul, who has been patiently waiting. So Petul, feel free to unmute yourself and ask David your question. Welcome.
Thank you, Nick. Thanks, David. Good morning, everyone. Emotional as were the two guests, just resonated with me so much. The men's retreat and the wellness just completely described me and what I'm doing. Dave knows all about this, Nick as well. So I don't know if it's a question, but I'm tempted to make the trip over to the States for that retreat. And I'm happy to promote the retreat as well. So sorry, it's not a question. I just kind of, Dave and Nick, you both know what I'm doing. But I think I just recorded a video this morning for my live class, which is free for guys to jump onto. It's just in a very similar vein to what Bob's doing. I'm not here to sell it. I just implore men to kind of jump on this stuff and jump onto Dave's stuff and have the conversations you need to have because too many men are suffering. So sorry, there wasn't a question there.
That's okay. Yeah, look, I don't know why more men, and probably Dr. Lee Warren, he could tell us with his expertise, why we are holding in our emotions and what physical effects holding in our emotions has. I'm, you know, a firm believer for, you know, I'm a crier. I always say it doesn't work unless I cry. I've cried on more stages than most human beings. But crying to me is perspiration. When we started with vibroacoustic behaviors, to me, you know, when I work out, I sweat. It's because my actual cellular structure is overheated. And I believe that when we have too much emotion, good, the excitement or fear, whatever it may be, that it overwhelms the physical embodiment. And we don't sweat necessarily when we're full of joy or full of fear, which is the ego-based consciousness. When we're emotionally overheated, we need to sweat. And the mechanism that the bioatomical and biochemical being that we are is to let it go by crying and getting choked up or whatever it is. So I am very free with my emotions because imagine if when you were working out, you didn't sweat, what would happen to your body? The same thing happens to your body, your mind, and your soul if you don't let your emotions go in some way. And breathing, crying, whatever it is, are great ways to balance out the overheating of emotions. But don't take it from me because I don't know what the shit I'm talking about. I know one thing about what I know is I don't know what I don't know. And the older I get, I know one thing. I know more than I ever have, which has revealed one thing to me. I do know more than I ever have known, but it has revealed to me that I don't know even more than I thought I knew. And so every time I learn more, I do know more, but I know more about what I don't know, which is a beautiful journey to be on, of explorative expansion and joy. Dr. Lee Warren, he's a brain surgeon. We're going to bring him on now. An author, a grief and trauma expert, a podcast hope, which we got three great guests for your show here. If you haven't explored or gone down the Dave Marino dragon hole, the Adam Jabin hero, and of course, the rabbit hole of David Meltzer, we love to have some podcast swap and get more elevating to the awareness of the greatest dis-ease that we have, trauma that's self-created. And you have written a book, Hope is the First Dose. I assume doses, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins, maybe a treatment plan for recovering from trauma, tragedy, and other massive things, which, as we've discussed earlier, everybody suffers from it. We react to it, which is so special. Dr. Lee Warren, thanks for joining us on Office Hours.
It's a pleasure and honor to be here, Dave, Adam, and Dave. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you.
Good morning, Doc.
I want to talk about relativity, Doc. So I've been studying a lot of time, which led me down the Einstein hole of time and relativity and special relativity and general relativity. Yeah. And it's this applied mathematics and theoretical physics that fascinate me, and applied to trauma, tragedy, and other massive things. We have a generational perspective of relativity when it comes to trauma, tragedy, and other massive things. And, you know, whether you're Viktor Frankl in the relativity of, you know, his search for meaning, or some spoiled, rotten, entitled 13-year-old, is the trauma the same? Is the trauma the same today for a Gen Z kid who, you know, his video game breaks, compared to Viktor Frankl, who's sitting in the Holocaust drinking a fish head bowl of water? Is it actually human perspective relativity the same?
Well, congratulations, first of all, because I've had probably 1,000 interviews around this book, and that's the first time anybody's ever asked me about quantum physics. So congratulations. That's a new one. Love it. But you know what? You're exactly right. In the terms of relativity, trauma has a way of making everything individual. And the first thing we do is we internalize what's happening, and our frontal lobes and the default mode of our brain make it about us. And so we always first go to, why is this happening to me? What am I going to do now? Right. And so regardless of the nature of your trauma or your massive thing, as we call it in our family, it first starts with, how does it affect us? And one of the secrets, actually, I think, to surviving and becoming resilient and facing these traumas is to learn how to zoom out a little bit and realize that other people have gone through similar things and they've made it through, and looking at learning and discerning how people have made it through in the past. And even we've gone through hard things before and we've managed to make it through those things. So kind of zooming out a little bit from the enormity of the personal part of the trauma is one of the secrets to getting back on your feet.
Dr. Lee, that's awesome. Really, sorry, David, make a joke.
I was going to say, that's awesome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I echo that. Really, really interesting stuff. And every time I can speak to a brain surgeon, I feel like I am I'm not the smartest guy in the room. So it's always fun.
wait. When he hangs out with Adam and I, he's like, oh shit, I'm the smartest guy in the room. This is a waste of my time. Thank God. Yeah. Thank God Dr. Lee Warren's here. Yeah, I now feel like somebody's smarter than Dave Marino. Listen, we go.
Whenever I'm with you, Dave,
the fastest.
There's two people that make me feel dumb when I'm around you, and it's not you. It's Miles and any brain surgeon. That's it.
I'm in rarefied air here.
Yeah. So listen, you obviously are touching on stuff from a very different aspect as someone in your field, right? Obviously, you know, you're looking at the brain. Your book, Hope is the First Dose. Hope is one of those words that, you know, obviously means different things to different people, but I think all of us can agree that hope is, you know, the drive to live, and, you know, how you defer, you know, interpret it from there, I think it varies. But how is it that hope plays a role in trauma, and how do you help, or what encouraging methods do you use, you know, post-trauma to help folks find that hope?
Great question. And, you know, I have a lot of experience as a neurosurgeon in dealing with people with fatal cancers and brain tumors and massive injuries and losing children and all that. And so for the first 15 years or so of my career, I was studying these people and trying to figure out, how do I help people when I can't save them with my surgery, right? If I'm giving you a fatal diagnosis, we know all the medical research says that people that lose hope really have a terrible quality of life, no matter what happens to their body, right? So we've studied and learned that if you become hopeless, it's really deadlier than cancer or heart disease, because you might recover from some of those things. But if you lose hope and you lose your peace of mind, your quality of life, hopeless people drink more, spend more time in the hospital, just have worse outcomes altogether. So hope is the engine that keeps you moving forward to believing that there is a possibility of things getting better for you, even if the number of days of your life turn out to be more limited than you thought, right? So hope helps us to maintain that pursuit of meaning. As you mentioned, Viktor Frankl said, suffering isn't suffering once it becomes purposeful, right? Once you know what it's about, then you don't suffer as much because now you have purpose. So in my world, there's a faith element to it too. I believe that we have a purpose and meaning in our lives that means more than just how many days we're here. And so as I was studying how to help people when I can't help them with my surgery, that's when our son Mitch died in 2013, right? As I was actually writing my second book, which was about how to find hope when you're facing terminal illness, our 19-year-old son Mitch was stabbed to death. And we became one of those groups of people who were suffering ourselves, Dave. And so basically, I then had to figure out, as you just mentioned, David, a second ago, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I knew how to help other people, but I didn't know how to help myself or my family. And so all of a sudden we're faced with this massive tragedy. And do I really believe the things I've always said that I believed? And what I figured out is, a short answer to your question, is one series of energy behind your head again is to really have a set of things that you believe that you don't have to then question when life gets really hard. So if you know what you're about, you know your internal belief structure, you've kind of drilled in your mind what's going to happen when these inevitable things occur, then you don't have as far to fall when life kind of sweeps the rug out from under you.
Yeah, before I get to Adam, I want to repeat that. Do I really believe the things I say I believe? And in between that void is either I am compared to this is what I want people to think I am. And if I really believe the things that I say I believe, then I am closer on the spectrum to I am than this void that's created today, this energy crisis of this is what I want people to think I am. Therefore, this is what I say I believe. But do I really believe what I say I believe is an important self-analytical tool? And it is variance in its time of how much of the day do I actually believe what I say I believe? And can I catch myself when I don't believe what I say I believe and get back to, as we talked earlier, in harmony with what I truly believe, that faith, that hope, that there is an abundant, infinite system unified with thought that is protecting, promoting, loving me more than my mom, a great omniscient and all-powerful source that we all belong to and through. And I want to reiterate that even though we have an incredible brainstorm who has his own specific training and expertise beyond David Marino even, but more importantly, we face the same struggles as Viktor Frankl in the sense of, do I really believe what I say I believe? And I want everyone to be aware of I am the spectrum between what we are and what we want people to think we are. That's what the Hero Project really is about, helping people that have that disease. Dr. Lee Warren, I want to introduce you to one of my close friends, Adam Jablin.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Doc. I can't tell you the tremendous amount of respect I have for you. And one of the things, just to let a thought out, one of the things that I sometimes play with of what can make me drink or use drugs again would be the loss of a child. If I lost my Olivia, if I lost my Ozzy. So
cancel.
Yeah. So if you are, thank you with the cancel, Dave, exactly. So if you, I want you to just give you so much respect on this book and on your mission. You know, I'm in circles where we talk about experience, strength, and hope. And a lot of people I know have the experience and strength, but they don't have the hope. Can you just could you just pour into us just a little bit more of what it was like to be challenged like that, and now how you're delivering? You know, you said you bring in the faith, you bring in the science, you bring in the hope, but you really walk the walk. How do you unpack that for us?
Well, I think the first thing is we teach this thing called self brain surgery, which is really just applied neuroplasticity, learning how to take the way your brain is structured and using it to your advantage instead of letting it use you. If you don't shape your brain purposefully, your experience and your life circumstances will shape it for you, right? So in terms of recovery for you, Adam, you know, we've learned that our natural tendency is to try to numb ourselves from what we're feeling so we don't have to feel it. And so that's when people turn to alcohol, drugs, shopping, sex, gambling, whatever it might be. We try to turn off our brain and that constant stream of negative thinking that makes us think that this is going to be the end, that this thing that has happened is going to define the rest of our lives. And we try to numb ourselves to that. But the problem, as we all learn with numbing behaviors, is you can't selectively numb part of it. If you numb something, the whole thing goes numb and you can't make good decisions. You can't think, you can't feel your life. And so we learn to love tomorrow more than we don't like what we're feeling now. And so in the self-brain surgery community on my podcast, for example, we say, number one, relentlessly refuse to participate in your own demise. Like, I've got to care about myself and my life enough and the people that are I'm responsible for to not do something that's going to harm me and my ability to navigate this complex set of things that's coming now that we've suffered this trauma, right? And if I just turn my brain off and numb it with alcohol or drugs or whatever, then I can't take care of tomorrow because I'm letting today bleed into tomorrow. So you get hangovers and cloudy thinking and all that stuff. You didn't love tomorrow more than you hated what you felt today. So we say, don't treat a bad feeling with a bad operation, right? So don't take how you feel now and put the wrong treatment on it. If you came into my office and told me you had a headache and I said, well, let's just go to the operating room and I'll cut your head open. We'll go figure out what's wrong. You'd say, wait, you know, we need to do a scan. We need to make a right diagnosis. We need to determine what the problem is before we start treating it. And that's what we do with substances. That's what we do with any kind of numbing behavior, is we take a feeling and we treat it with the wrong thing instead of diagnosing and understanding what the feeling is and then unpacking it and trying to process the fact that feelings aren't facts. Feelings are neurotransmitters in our brains. And sometimes they point towards true things and sometimes they don't. And we have to learn to think about our thinking and process those things and take feelings and use them appropriately, not let them lead us around. I think just turning that equation around, getting the high ground on your thoughts and loving tomorrow more, Adam, is the answer.
Loving tomorrow more. Thank you, doctor.
Wow. In a guise of protection and promotion and love, we do love tomorrow more because it's full not only of possibilities, probabilities, and perspective. We do shape not only our mind, but our future. And the only limitation to that future is our self-image. And Dr. Lee Warren helps facilitate the correct self-image in order to facilitate an abundant, more than enough future for everyone, regardless of the tragedy, the trauma, and other massive things, which Dr. Lee Warren was well equipped for his and his families. And we appreciate you sharing in the vulnerability and sharing. The podcast is incredible. It's all over the world. And I encourage everyone to participate in it and listen to it. The Dr. Lee Warren podcast, Dr. Lee Warren. Check out his book, We All Struggle. Hope is the first dose guaranteed. Thank you, Dr. Lee Warren, for joining us. We have many other shows and many other guests for you. The world needs more of you. Anyone smarter than Dave Marino, the world needs more of. Miles won't go on tour, but maybe you will. Thanks for joining us on Office Hours.
Thank you, gentlemen. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, Doc. Wonderful to meet you.
Thank you.
See you soon. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here on Breakfast Club, we have four more minutes. And Nick, before I let you close out the room, for those that aren't familiar with Office Hours, although we've done over 570 of these episodes, I think it's, I don't even know. Dave Marino's had like six kids ever since we started it. It's however long it took to get to where you are. He's 6 feet 11 now at the end of the show. We do a takeaway of the day. And to me, what takeaways are is with all the amazing information that we received in the last hour, it's what resonated with you. That's the only thing that we really should capture because it encompasses intuition, intelligence, and inspiration. It's information that resonates with us is maybe not utilized today, but it will be sometime outside of linear constructive time useful in our lives. So I love going around and asking my incredible co-hosts what the takeaways of today are. I'm going to start with the incredible DM, the smartest man in the room now. Dave Marino, what's your takeaway for the day?
My takeaway for today is Ikigai, the Japanese concept of giving your life meaning and purpose. I mean, yeah, obviously just leaning into what Dr. Lee just said, you know, defining hope and finding purpose, particularly with folks that are dealing with tragedy and terminally ill situations. You know, define your purpose, find your reason and your why, and then everything should stem from there, from your basic value system.
I love it. And the incredible Hero Project's King of Swing with Superman behind him, and it's a reflection of his soul, Adam Jablin. What can you take away from that?
Both DMs. I think the takeaway for me today is that there is a solution, right? We heard somebody with harmonization and somebody going right through the body and Doc right through the brain, and that there is a solution for whatever we're suffering from, the trauma, the tragedy, the disease, the addictions, that there are different pathways. So, you know, take a look, because there's a lot of people out there that want to help.
Wow. And that's why I have you guys co-hosting so many shows with me and in my frequency and my neighborhood, because both of those resonated with me as well beyond a vibroacoustic circumstance. And I appreciate both of you taking the time early in the morning. We, of course, curse Craig Goldberg for giving us the morning voice in a quantum way. I wanted to ask Dr. Warren Lee his very first quantum question. My takeaway for the day, which I loved, and it's applicable to all three of our guests, Craig Goldberg, Bob Gardner, and of course, Dr. Lee Warren, it is the relationship between feelings are not facts, and what are you allowing to shape you and your future? I want you to think about feelings aren't facts, but what are you allowing to shape you and your future? And I see so many people utilizing feelings as facts, and worse than that, amplifying those feelings as facts, whether it's world atrocities or scientific information, political, socioeconomic, but feelings are not fact. But more importantly, what are you allowing to shape you and your future? There's so much information, there's so much noise, there's so much dis-ease and interference in the world. What are you allowing to shape you and your future? Because you give meaning to everything you see. You give meaning to those feelings and the facts. And you can shape you, and you can shape your future. Whether you study physics, quantum physics, metaphysics, applied mathematics, whether you use some source of intelligent intuition or simple inspiration, notate this, that feelings are not fact, and that you shape you and you shape your future. Very careful and clear about this. Identify the disease. Have faith and hope for that future to be protected, promoted, and loved like I do, my friends, Adam Jablin and Dave Marino. It's 7 a.m. Pacific time. It's 10 a.m. on the East Coast with Dave Marino and Adam Jablin. Their voices should be coming by now. My day will almost be over by 10 a.m., and I appreciate both of you for joining me. Nick of time, go ahead and close out the room. I love you both. Take care, guys.